CBS, Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Behind the black, these are hard facts. NASA is delaying the planetary mission program. How vast is this disappointment? Bob Zimmerman is here. He keeps the website Behind the Black. I asked for details, Bob, but right now I'm worried that these missions in delay will be postponed indefinitely. Is that a risk here? Good evening to you.
Yes, John, it's absolutely a risk. I mean, NASA believes, as much of Washington does, that doing the same failed thing over and over again is a good thing in the vain hope that it might work the next time. That's their philosophy, the definition of insanity, according to Einstein. Because after they went through this with Webb, where the James Webb telescope, over a period of almost 20 years construction, where its budget rose 20 times from $500 million to $10 billion, during that period of time, it wiped out the astrophysics program at NASA. They could pretty much launch no space telescopes other than Webb because all the money was going to Webb. And it just shut down that entire program for almost a decade and a half. It will maybe work out better next time. And so last week, NASA revealed that because of, quote, budget uncertainty, it will not begin accepting project proposals for its New Frontiers Planetary Mission Program. This is the program that basically does all the major missions. This program funded New Horizons to Pluto, the Juno mission to Jupiter, OSIRIS-REx to the asteroid Bennu. Those are just three examples. And it had a whole plans to do a comet surface return. There were draft proposals for doing a variety of sample missions, such as going to the volcanic moon of Io, a comet surface sample return mission, going to the moon's far side, and a variety of other things, going to Saturn, two of Saturn's moons. Well, that program now is being delayed entirely for 3 years. They were going to start to accept proposals for these missions for review and acceptance this fall. NASA has now said it's not going to accept any proposals at all on any planetary missions pretty much for another 3 years. And the article I linked to does what a lot of, unfortunately, journalists do. They blame budget cuts on this, which is not the case. NASA's budget for 24 appears to be stable. It's the House Republican leader had demanded major cuts from every appropriations committee on the agencies it dealt with, and the committee that was dealing with NASA had to impose almost 30% cuts on the agencies it supervised. But it chose to do those cuts on everything but NASA. NASA was going to get a stable budget, no major decrease. So it isn't budget cuts that are causing this. Nope, it's Webb Reborn. This is my analysis. The Mars sample return mission has grown already by more than 25% its budget from $3 to $4 billion. And the people in the program say they expect the Mars sample return mission to grow to almost $10 billion before they're done. Basically, it's Webb Reborn. And where does the money have to come from for all this extra cost for the Mars sample return mission? It has to come from NASA's planetary program. And so, of course, that means no other planetary missions can fly. So this is Webb Reborn.
Bob,
instead of in astrophysics, it's in planetary.
Is this using SLS for Mars, or is this using
Starship? No, SLS is completely irrelevant to the entire program. Nothing's flying on SLS in any of
these
missions.
SLS is too expensive. What are they using for the sample return? Are they using Starship?
The Starship program is very one of the reasons it's costing so much and going up in price is because its planning has been haphazard and sloppy, and it constantly changes. And they are not relying on Starship. They're not even considering Starship. They're talking about having Lockheed Martin build an Ascent rocket using helicopters on the surface. This is the most recent iteration. I don't even know what the launch vehicle would be. They don't know what the launch vehicle would be. I suggest what it would be much wiser for NASA to do is to stall sample return until the technology like Starship arrives, which it is coming, and do the planetary missions instead. But that's not what they're going to do. They're going to delay all the planetary missions and do this mission instead.
Oh, that's a disappointment. But
it's terrible, but that's what's happening.
And it included the Enceladus mission. And the Venus missions are still on board, correct?
There are several Venus missions that have been in construction. What we're talking about here are projects that were going to be proposed for initial funding and construction. So they're not actually in their draft proposal stages. They're not actually started yet. So this isn't affecting projects that are already in operation. Though I will tell you, they're going to be affecting some. For example, they're talking about shutting down New Horizons. There's some argument for that, since it's out there and it's not finding any other place it can see. But nonetheless, they're talking about shutting down some missions early because of the tightness in the planetary budget.
Update on ESA. Space Rider. What is that? Oh, sorry, Bob. Check. Vikram is on the surface of the moon. What is Vikram?
Vikram is the lander from India that was sent to the surface of the moon in the high southern latitudes. It brought a rover to it, Pragyam, and the two of them are still operating on the lunar surface. They're going to work for about another week plus until the sun sets on the moon, and then it's questionable whether they'll survive the long lunar night. But while they're working, they're providing some data. So, for example, Vikram has a probe. It's a lander, so it doesn't move around, but it has a probe that digs down into the soil of the moon. And what it found is that the temperature drops very fast as you work your way in. Now, they didn't go very deep. They only went about 3.5 inches into the soil, but they found that the temperature drops from 131 degrees Fahrenheit above the surface. That's like a very hot day in Death Valley. You go down 3.5 inches into the ground, and you're now at 14 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about a day in Minnesota in the winter. So it drops very quickly. This matches other data that was obtained during the Apollo missions, but it's a little different and unexpected. The drop was faster than expected. And it's just, part of the data they're getting as they work their way on the moon.
And important again to congratulate India. An article I read, Bob, said that they did this on the cheap. They did it where they were successful without spending a great deal of money. And that, of course, endorses your intuition when we first started reporting on the India space program before the pandemic years ago, that this big space operation you approved of because they believed in economics.
Yes, they did this smartly. For example, the Chandrayaan 2, the previous lunar mission, failed on landing. And so when they did this mission, they basically rebuilt it and just simply did some basic upgrades to make sure it would operate properly. It wouldn't fail. So they didn't put on new bells and whistles or redesign completely. They were smart. They just basically built the same thing over again, but with some upgrades. And that was smart.
All right, Jax has scrubbed a mission, but it's a fascinating mission, so we should talk about it. It's called the X-ray Telescope and SLIM, S-L-I-M, Lunar Lander. And, Bob, you've got a compelling image accompanying this story of the surface of the moon. What is the mission for JAXA?
This was the last launch of their H-2A rocket. They canceled it over the weekend because of high winds. Nothing was wrong technically. They have to reschedule. They have not announced a new schedule date. And one of the reasons is that there were two payloads on this. One was the X-RISM X-ray telescope. That's an X-ray telescope that would orbit the Earth. It is replacing previous telescope that failed in 2016 right after launch. So they basically are doing what India did. They're rebuilding something they built before and now launching it to try to make up for a failure. Unlike India, they didn't work as quick, and I don't think they were as cheap, and it's taken them 7 years to get this off the ground. The other payload is called SLIM. That's an acronym. Who cares what the meaning is? And that's a small lunar lander. And that's the image I've got on behind the black. It's a map showing you where it's going to land and its landing site on the near side of the moon at about, 13 degrees south latitude. The purpose of SLIM is mostly engineering. Its main goal is to achieve a precision landing on the moon with a target zone of less than 100 meters or 310 feet. Very tiny target zone. Can it hit that target? And this is kind of equivalent to Apollo 12 when Pete Conrad had to bring the LEM down within walking distance of the Surveyor unmanned lander, and he did it. But this is trying to do it with a robot and get it really, really a precise landing. And so that's its main target engineering-wise. It has two hoppers, two secondary payloads that are going to separate and bounce along the surface and obtain additional data. But then, once again, the main purpose of this is to the landing goal. And it's going to take several months to get to the moon, and then it'll be in orbit around the moon for about a month while it plans the descent. We're just going to have to wait until they've set a new
bounce stage. Along the surface of these rubber balls. What kind of probe bounces along?
I'm not sure how this is working. A hopper in one case, so it's a hopper. It has little, like, probably legs that bounce. I have to look at the specific pictures again. The other one is released beforehand, and when it comes down, it bounces across the surface, which is not unlike what a lot of landers in the past have done. The Soviets first developed that technology, and we used it ourselves on our Pathfinder Mars mission, bouncing on the surface. And then the sphere opens up, and the lander or rover comes out. Some variation of that.
Inside his back. The little robot that could, it failed, it was going to fail, it hung on for a long time, but now data from InSight. Bob, remind what InSight was.
Yes, InSight was not a failure, John, and InSight operated on the Mars surface for 4 years. There's a lot of things about this mission that were a failure, but it had one bright light. It had a seismometer that operated on the Mars surface for 4 years and detected earthquakes. Well, now scientists have issued a new paper reviewing the entire archive of Martian quakes that were detected by InSight, and they put together a global map, and so I posted it on Behind the Black. You can see the hot spots now on Mars for earthquakes. And there are basically three of them, and they outline where they are and how they fit together. And it's interesting because they seem to be linked somehow in some way that we don't understand to the transition zone between the northern lowland plains and the southern cratered highlands. And why, that's a mystery that later research is going to have to work out.
Does this mean that Mars is tectonically active? Does it mean that
it is seismically active? It has earthquakes, but whether those quakes, the cause of those quakes are not tectonically related. We don't have giant plates moving around. They're related to underground processes, maybe related to volcanic activity or other things going on. We don't really know. That's what we have to go there and find out.
We're going
to
stay on Mars here for a southern mid-latitude crater. Why?
This is another example of proving that there's probably a lot of ice on Mars, near-surface ice. If you get above 30 degrees latitude, either north or south, you're going to find a lot of ice very close to the surface. So this is a crater that's 35 degrees south latitude, and it's interesting because the apparent glacial ice, it hugs the northern floor of a crater, which means it's the part of the crater that gets the most shadow. It's like in the north, northern-facing cliffs faces, the ice and snow will remain for a long time because the sun is shadowed. And this is the case in the southern hemisphere. The northern-facing cliff face is shadowed, and this is where the ice appears to congregate, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going space engineering when we come back. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.